We're going to study the book of Revelations in chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10, and we're going to tackle the entire chapter, 11 verses, and we are advancing in the book of Revelation to the point that now we are trying to understand at least what God is going to do with this world as we end chapter 9. And the people, even though God disciplined and judged the people, they believe not. And so this world is coming to a destruction, and is a very interesting a picture here that I don't know if you like my understanding or not, but it's very simple. And I think that John, as a Jew now, I'm thinking that this chapter, God is addressing the personality of the Jewish people and telling how sorrowful they should be that they are missing the boat. So I read the chapter and then read the commentary and take your questions to reason together. Revelation chapter 10, starting at verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. I wanted to let you know that for a Hebrew reader, this is not surprise, because the Old Testament is full of these things, as I want to tell you, is full of these expressions and manifestations of God. For us Westerners, when we see something like this, we say, oh, wow. But put yourself in the culture of a Hebrew scholar who's familiar with all the manifestations of God and the culture of the Hebrew way of thinking, and then you understand that this is not an unfamiliar picture, neither is an unfamiliar vocabulary. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the thing they are therein, therein are, and the earth, and the thing that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hands of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. I go over the material to let you know what I think this is saying. My first statement is this: who is this mighty angel? We do not think right. Some people said that this mighty angel is Christ himself. In the Old Testament, the Son of God was called the Angel of the Lord. And I want you to know that is in Exodus in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. All right? And in verse 2. So Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. Jesus is called the Angel of the Lord. And the Bible said in Exodus 3 verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, appeared to Moses. And as we are now in that part of the book of Revelation that deal mainly with the people of Israel, it is nothing less than what we should expect to hear. Christ is spoken as a mighty angel. Then the description of this mighty angel seems to point to the same person that John saw standing amid the lampstand in chapter 1, verse 12 to 16, of Christ himself. The angel was clothed in a cloud. There was a rainbow upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. No mere angel was ever before since described in the scripture as appearing like this one here. Then he is described as crying with a loud voice, as a lion roareth, and Christ is spoken of in the book of Revelation. If you go to chapter 5, and in verse 1, Christ is spoken of in that way. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And if you look in verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to lose the seven seals thereof. Now, why so often I go to Revelation 5:5 is because no human being in the history of the world will have the authority, the ability, and the understanding of opening the book. The only person that opened the book is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that. Now, in Revelation 5:5, then Jesus is presented as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And in the chapter that follows, the same mighty angel is speak of the two witnesses. That's chapter 11. As my witness, which is further indisputable evidence that this mighty angel is no other than Christ Jesus himself. In chapter 11, the people talk about the two witnesses, but the Bible said my two witnesses. That's the way you take that preposition away, and then the meaning of the two witnesses is something else. This interpretation makes clear what follows. For when this mighty angel places his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and swears that there shall be no time no longer or no longer delay. Actually, that should be the real translation. It's not no time no longer. It's not the clock will stop. It's no longer delay. It is Christ taking formal possession of the earth and sea and declaring that there be no longer delay and the dispossessing of the false pretender, which is Satan. In other words, when the Bible said there will be no longer delay, means this is the moment that one incident followed the other incident, and Satan, who's in control of the earth, will be removed. There is no other event coming up. This is it. This is the end of Satan's life. When the mighty angel cried with a loud voice, John heard seven thunders utter their voices. And look in chapter 3 of Revelation and verse 3. And cry with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders utter their voices. These thunders spoke, for John heard what they said, and as he had been commanded to write what he should see and hear, he proceeded to write what these voices of the seven angels or the seven thunders utter. But he was told to seal up those things which the seven thunders utter and write them not. Look at verse 4. The seven thunders come in, they speak. And John, remember, Revelation 1:1, God told John, write whatever you see and whatever you hear. But look in verse 4, Revelation 10:4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter, and write them not. That's very, very important. John was then told to go take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which is standing upon the sea and upon the earth. Look at in verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which is standing upon the sea and upon the earth. And John was at this time back again on the earth. And when John took the little book, the angel said to him, take it up, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And when John had eaten the book, it was, as the angel has said, sweet to his mouth and bitter to the stomach. And that we read it in verse 9 and in verse 10. Now the question still, what was this little book? Was it the seven seal book now open, and therefore the title deed of the earth? Remember when I taught Revelation 5 is that God in heaven has seven books. It was a book with seven seals, and that was the title deed of the earth. And no man was able and qualified, no philosopher, nobody in this earth was qualified to take it and possess the earth, but Christ was. And so my question was, is this that little book open, the title deed of the earth, and that the mighty angel held it in his hand as he stood with one foot on the sea and one foot on the earth as his authority for claiming possession. In chapter 5, verse 1, remember we read it. But the angel does not make that use of it, and if it were his title deed to the earth, it seemed a strange procedure for him to give it to John to eat. Then it is described as a little book, as if it contains, the containing of the book were very small. In that respect, it stands and makes contrast with the seven seal books of Revelation 5:1, whose numerous seals and the time taken to break them imply that it was a considerable size book. Then the effect upon John of the eating of the little book seems to indicate that it was more than a title deed, for it contained matter that when John first ate it, glance over that, was sweet as honey to his mouth. But when he had truly digested its content, it was bitter to his belly. In other words, the little book contained matter connected with John's work as a prophet. For the angel immediately said to him, look at verse 11, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings, which for we know John did, he completed that in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. That's why John wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, because he completed the command of God. Now, this little book here open is probably the book that Daniel was told to seal up. If you go to Daniel chapter 12 in the Old Testament, and in verse 4 and in verse 9, Daniel was told to seal up the book. Here's what the Bible said, Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And look in verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed. Up and seal it till the time of the end. So that book cannot be opened by no human being except God at the end of time. That's important. That book contained things that were not to be revealed until the end of time. You saw that in Daniel? Okay, the end synchronized with the last half of Daniel's 70 weeks. And therefore, the end of time is the great tribulation. Some people place this at the middle, but this is the very end. End of time, it means end of time in the Bible. Eschatolos hamera, which means this has to be at the end of the tribulation period. If this supposition of mine be true, then the little book was a foreview of the things that are to be befall Daniel's people in the last half of Daniel's 70 week. Daniel was in jail and he was asking God, what is going to happen to Israel? See, God never told him. God never told Daniel that God is going to create the church and that God's people will be more than just the Jewish nation. That God's people, Israel, is going to be expanded to be everybody who believes. Never told Daniel, never told the prophet. So, I have to say, the effect on John of reading the little book seems to confirm this view. For as he read of the deliverance that were to come to his people and to the final victory of the Lamb and the setting up of the kingdom, the book was sweet and honey to his taste. But when he meditated upon the awful suffering that will come upon the world and the reign of the beast, the Antichrist, and during the pouring of the vials, it was bitter to his soul. It is bitter to a Jew, to understand that we Gentiles have the key of heaven. No ever fail. A Jew accepted you, they listen to you, but they want to restore that kingdom of Israel as the kingdom was before, with the lamb and the offering and the tabernacle. They don't see. When they read the God is going to restore the kingdom, they're happy, sweet to their mouth. But when they learn that it's not their people, the nation of Israel, the one that's going to restore it, is going to be God's people, which is Israelites and Gentiles. They're really in anger. Now, I want to deal a little bit with a mystery in page 70. When the seventh trumpet angel shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, said the Bible. That mystery, and I'm reading page 70, that mystery was unknown to the prophets. No prophet in the scripture ever thought that the Gentiles will be the kingdom of God. The mystery of God is the mystery of why God permitted Satan to cause the fall of man and thus bring sin and misery and death into the world, and how God used the church to bring the gospel and not Israel. The Israelites always worry, why God allow Adam to sin? I have talked to the rabbi here, and his worry is, why God allow that? And then the most worry is, why you Gentiles speak about God? We are the only one. Still a mystery. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul revealed this. And the prophets, as big as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. Daniel was the only one more close to know. And God said, no. Look at in Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the world, people do not know why God allows Satan to have victory over Eve. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Paul said, here's the mystery. Nobody knows why God allowed Eve to sin, but you will know it through the church. And that makes the Jewish people bitter. To the Old Testament prophets, God revealed the fact that in his own good time, he will make clear this mystery. And when the seventh trumpet, that includes all that happened from chapter 11, 15 and forward, sounds, the mystery of God will be finished. For then the mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist, will be revealed, in whom Satan will incarnate himself after he casts out of heaven, and his destruction, and the binding of Satan, and the setting of the millennial kingdom of Christ, which is the church age, shall be fulfilled, the promises of the prophet, that peace and righteousness shall reign on earth. You know, people say, oh, there is war on earth. No, sir, there is peace on earth. Mankind doesn't have to fight anymore to get peace with God. The peace with God was done. Christ came, he died and rose again. And it's possible for anyone to have peace with God. The redeemed human race shall take up its abode upon the redeemed and restored earth, which I'm going to read in a minute in Revelation 21. And sin and rebellion shall forever be destroyed. Then the mystery of God shall be finished. See, what Israel was looking is what Revelation chapter 21 tells us. This is what the Israelites were looking. In Revelation 21, we read in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. God is not rebuilding, he is making new. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the only man in the whole earth that saw the new earth. That's what Jesus said in John 21. He will remain to the end. He saw the new. Can you imagine that? Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no cry, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more gospel, they're all saved. I lost my job there. Brother Thomason will lose his job there. There's no need of the gospel. Why? They're all saved. How do I know? Well, look in chapter 22 and verse, chapter 21, verse 27. Look at who's going to be there. And there shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything that defile, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb books of life. The only people that are going to be there are the believers. And so therefore, they don't need more of preaching. I lose my job, and I hope Social Security pick up the pieces then. But you see what it is? People are looking for a city here on earth, and God is telling, here is the mystery, the city is in heaven. People are looking for a rebuilding of the earth, and God is not in business of rebuilding, is making new. As a matter of fact, you have an example in yourself. When you were saved, God said, doesn't say if you renew yourself, God said, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature, not a rebuilt creature, not a patch-up creature. You are a new creature. And when this event takes place, when the mystery of God is revealed, and Israel cannot take it, but God is saying, the prophet do not know, and God's reserved that for these times, and we know that as we preach the gospel and God comes into, that one day we're going to be move on and live with him forever. That is a tremendous mystery to an Israelite and many Gentiles, but to an Israelite who is Orthodox and who studied the scripture, he hassle about why Eve sinned and why no Israel take over and bring the kingdom. Because Israel as a nation is no longer going to take the kingdom. It's the church, which includes Israelites who are saved. And makes people very upset. Makes the Jew very upset. And because Romans 11 said they are blind. All right. So on the next study, which happened in about, in January, because next Sunday is going to be the cantata, and the following Sunday is not even in service. So in January, we pick up the pieces in chapter 11. Now this is tough in chapter 11, because God is going to unfold one event after the other for his destruction. Now notice this, there is no time in this information. God explained what he's doing. He said, now it's going to be fulfilled. Now it's going to follow one to the other. But God doesn't give time on it. But it's one in succession to the other. So one thing I know, boy, I'm so glad I'm a believer. I do not know all the details. I have no the answers. But one thing it is, whatever God does, I'll be with him. And I will be in the new heaven and enjoy forever the presence of God. See, we have so much impression of this earth that we have no idea of the glory as being in the presence of God forever and ever. And John saw it. John saw it, the New Jerusalem. Oh, man, that is, I envy John that he saw the place where God had for you and for me. All right, I take some questions that maybe you have in your hand. And so I'll maybe repeat the question for those who listen. That's what the people who listen told me, well, we cannot hear the questions. All right, is there any question tonight that brings to your attention on it? Maybe don't know the answer. I want to tell you ahead. But it's if you have a question, I'd be glad to answer. So chapter 10, what is then chapter 10 in the book of Revelation? Chapter 10 is a glance to say to you, it's a break. It's like an intermezzo. It's between two scenarios, between God displaying his power. Now God is saying, now, from now on, we are heading on to the end. That's what chapter 10 is. It's making a break. And it's saying, hold on, tie your belt, because we are landing. From now on, there is no more intermezzo. There is no more interruptions. God is crying one action after the other and brings the end and the glory of God into that. So until chapter 9, God is telling you details. But after chapter 9, chapter 10 said, from now on, God is heading on and to the final destruction of mankind. Again, there is no time on it. But when the events happen, now you can count, the one event will follow the next event. All right? There are hundreds of views on these, by the way. Hundreds of views of people who interpret the scripture. Not read the scripture, but interpret the scripture. But is anyone? Yes, sir.
So which do you think is the book from, the sealed book from Daniel, the one in?
The sealed book from Daniel is the revelation of first sin and the salvation of mankind with the church.
The book with the seven seals or the book in...
The book of the seven seals will be revelation of his plan, but the book of Daniel, which include the revelation of the totality. So there is only one book, but this one is different. The seven seals is a large book. This is a small book. This contains only one secret. This is the secret. This is the reason why Satan sinned, and this is how God solved it. And is to the salvation of mankind. The Jew do not like that. The Jew want, and politically, you hear them politically, they are anxious to know what America is going to do because they depend on American money and American technology to defend themselves. And they want to know because they want to the power of Israel. And God's no longer with Israel, dealing with Israel as a nation, a blessed nation. God is dealing to save their souls. They have to become believers if they want to be in the kingdom of God. There is another view saying that Israel is going to preach the gospel to Rion. No, sir. Israel hates the gospel. They're not going to preach it. All right? So the book is a different book, I think, the Seven Seals. It's a book telling him how God is going to do the end and why. All right? And no prophet, by the way, has said the church is coming into existence. Yes, Terry?
Is this, when it says time no longer, no longer delay, is that after the earth is destroyed?
No, after chapter 9, there will be no more delay. There is no time no more. In other words, God is not saying there is no time, the clock stopped. No, there's no saying that. God said, "Is no more delay. From now on, I will make one event after the other and close to the end." But it doesn't say how long each event is.
But is that after the earth is destroyed?
No, it's in process of being destroyed.
That's sequential?
Sequential, I think. Yeah. Brother Prater, are the events, Brother Prater question, are the events sequential? To me, they are, because when you read chapter 11, 12, 13, the Antichrist come in, the witness come in, everything is one story follow the other. Now, how long between? I don't know.
And also, just about the, at the end, the last page on page 70, it says the millennial kingdom. I just don't understand what...
The millennial kingdom is, I pick up the idea of Revelation 20, and I put between there... The church, there is a parenthesis, the church?
Yeah, it says the church age.
The church age. That's another way to see the millennium kingdom, where God brings peace to man. I'm going to preach on the evening on Christmas. What is the peace of God? It's not the whole universe and the lion is sleep with you. No, nothing like that. The peace with God is that you and God are one. That's now. That's what I call the church age.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you take the church age out of existence, we got no peace anymore.
So you're saying it's from the cross until...
From the cross until the end. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. In a nutshell, in a little bit a statement. All right. It's very interesting. Because we look to the earth for peace, and God looks to heaven for peace. See? We look for the prosperity of the world, and God looks for your prosperity of your soul. It's so different. You know, you go to the gym, you talk to certain men and so on, and they tell you, so I'm a lawyer, I'm this, I'm the other. Everybody is telling you how big they are on this earth. Not just, I'm a pastor. Oh, boy, what is it? It's like Jacob saying to the Pharaoh of Egypt, I'm a shepherd. See, that's what a pastor is for America. You would tell somebody, but I'm a doctor, it's different, but I say, I'm a pastor. This poor guy. And I drive an old car, 95, so nobody touches. That's good. But that's how we think. We are so prone to think human. And God wrote the Bible heavenly for our soul. Our body is going to go. When I have, in my hand, I have a lot of ashes, my 34 years in funerals. But when I have in my hand Jack ashes, I want to cry so hard. Greg was with me, and he prayed, and here's his ashes. But then I had to let go that thought of the human part. Jack is not in that box, all right? And so now our future is not in this earth, it's in heaven. So God is relating all the events. Now, I think what God is doing, Brother Breaker, is this. God's given, he knows that nobody's going to repent, but God is still giving people opportunity to repent and to repent, because the church is still in existence. You remove the church from earth and remove the Holy Spirit from earth, who's going to be saved? No? Well, let me show you. John Gospel, I thought 2-3 minutes. Is John Gospel 16? It tells you how people get saved. John 16, yeah. Let me go to John Gospel 16, verse 7. Yeah, verse 7 on. And the Bible tells you how you get saved, how anybody can get saved. Jesus talking to the disciples that he need to go, and this is what he said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, you know who the Comforter is in chapter 14, 26, is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Why? Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin. See, not the Jews only. God used the word world. You see that? Must be shocking for the Jewish people. Because they are the only one that want to be saved. Jesus said the world, the cosmos, of sin and righteousness and judgment. What kind of sin? Jesus, I smoke, I cheat my wife? No, of sin because they believe not in me. So the key is this. We preach the gospel so that the Holy Spirit can convict people of sin. See? And two ladies came to see me this afternoon because one boy was here about two Sundays ago, and the boy is 35 years old, and is asking questions, serious questions about his life and about what God said. And I told the ladies, would you just keep saying, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. It is the only solution. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle is and so on. You read the scripture. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. Why? I read this book and I will have faith. Is this book magical? No, the Holy Spirit works through the book. Doesn't work through anything else. Works through the book. That's where the key is. All right. Any other questions? See, I don't know the answer, but I know one thing. We're heading on to heaven. You're a believer. This I know for sure. I can testify to that. But the world is not getting better either. All right? So don't trust in the riches and in the comfort of this world. It's not getting better. But what is getting better is we are closer and closer and closer to heaven. Now that is the hope of the believer. That's where the believer can be at peace in any situation of life. When I was young, I thought that that was the time in the 45, 46. You were in war, and so South America did not have oil. South America has to share with the Americans all the goods. So sugar and corn, everything was shipped to America. So I made the line. I don't know if you did it, but I made the line for my mother to buy a pound of sugar once a month. I made the line to buy 5 gallons of kerosene to heat for the kitchen twice a month. And people say, oh, the tough times. We are, the end of the world is coming, they said. And my mother said, the Antichrist is Mussolini. The Germans will say it's Hitler and all of this. You know, don't speculate. It's going to be tough. Tough as you cannot imagine. Well, last Sunday we learned that one third of the earth disappeared. And people do not believe. One thing I know for sure, I'm going to see him eye to eye because I'm a believer. And I lost my job, but I'll be on vacation. You and I be on vacation. Lord, thank you for the beauty and the wonders of your word. There are many things we don't know, but the things we know, we are responsible. Deuteronomy 29:29 said that the secret things belong to God. But the things that we know belong to us and to our children. And so cause us to teach our children the truth of the living God. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a blessed week for those who are listening. And if you are in the East Coast, maybe it's late for you. God bless you and have a very blessed week.